Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
From Vanderpump Rules to Vegas and everywhere in between, it's time to party with Sheena Shea. This is Shenanigans. And now, here's your host, Sheena Shea.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Shenanigans. This week, I'm so excited because I have another guest on. Today, this is someone you've heard me talk about on my podcast over the last several weeks. Her name is Courtney Furden. How are you?
Hi, good. Thanks, Sheena, for having me.
Yes, thanks for being here. So we have been working out together doing the like pelvic floor and like core training for, oh my gosh, how long now? I'm trying to think. How old is Summer? She's 4 months. We started around maybe like 6 weeks.
Yeah, right around six, 7 weeks.
Yeah. So yeah, we've been doing this for a few months. I feel that what we've been doing has definitely helped like snatch my waist back in. I feel just like more strength in my core. And I'm starting to just like feel like me again, get back in some of my old clothes. Thanks to you.
Well, you look amazing.
Thank you.
Form's great on the exercises, getting so much stronger. And yeah, your body is incredible.
Thank you. I'm feeling good. I do think that, you know, when people have reached out and they're like, oh my God, you're snapping back. Like, what are your secrets? But I'm like, it's not really a secret. I worked out 4 days a week up until I was 39 weeks pregnant. I would have been the girl 40 weeks pregnant, like due date in the gym, but our gym wasn't open here. So I had to take that last week off. But then the second I was able to do any sort of workout again, I got right back to it.
You did. I saw you. I remember it was the first workout you had done, and you've been so consistent and you've been putting in the time. And after a baby, I mean, that's what we need to get our bodies back. Our bodies physically have to change to carry that baby and the weight gain.
Totally.
And so when people think, I'm just going to get my body back, you really have to work to get it back and get your posture and your movement back to what it was, or you can even improve on what it was before you had a baby.
Totally. And I'm like, I'm loving my new curves. Like, I don't think these hips are just going to shrink back to what they were before, but I'm embracing it.
It's beautiful. You have a great hourglass. I always tell you that with your tiny little waist and your hips. That's not my body type, but I love that body type.
Well, thanks. Yeah, no, I've been feeling just so much more confident since working out with you, because one of the first things we talked about that first day was how much weight both of us gained as petite women to then put on, you know, 55 plus pounds.
Yeah, and I gained over 70 with my first.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how much I gained because I stopped weighing myself.
Yeah.
I mean, when the scale crept up really high, I stopped. So I know it was over 70. Mm-hmm. I have no idea how much more. And then with my daughter, it was over 60. And yeah, I'm almost 5'7", but I'm pretty thin. And so it was a lot of weight for me. And I just felt very outside of my body. And it was hard emotionally. And I know when we first met, it was hard on you emotionally too, to just feel outside of your body because you're not used to that. And then you're going through so much because you have a new baby at home and there's just stress and pressure. And for you,
filming four days after I got home from the hospital.
You're like in the media, so it's even more intense. Yeah. And it's a lot of pressure. I think you and I had talked about having grace for yourself, you know, knowing that your body did what it needed to not think, oh no, I shouldn't have gained weight. You know, you just try to eat healthy and exercise and do what you can when you're pregnant. And some people, you know, gain 20 pounds and some of us gain a lot. And some of my friends and clients who gained the most were like the smallest to start off.
Yeah, totally.
You know, but to know that just have grace and that when you have the baby, you know, you can work on losing whatever weight you want to lose and just doing it the right way, you know, by eating well and exercising and, you know, feeling good and knowing that your body's beautiful no matter what. I mean, it produced another human. That's
literally
a miracle.
I made a human.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
that's
so crazy to think about too, how she started as, you know, obviously, you know, sperm meets egg, basic human anatomy, but like that they went from like the size of like a poppy seed to just like watching that fetal development every week and seeing it's like, oh, they still have the little tail and like to a full-size human.
Yeah, that your body made.
It blows my mind.
And that's why I think with women, when I work with them too, it can be so hard on ourselves sometimes, or society is. And just to really think it's such a beautiful blessing and gift to be able to make a baby and have a baby and to really focus on that. Because when people are really focused on the other, and a lot of women get postpartum depression too.
Yeah.
But just to focus on the positive that you can instead of looking at what we don't have or what we want different, which is just kind of life. A lot of people focus on that. But it really does help you enjoy the journey of pregnancy and motherhood when you can look at what you have instead of what you don't have.
Yeah, definitely. So if you guys can't tell, this episode is obviously for the ladies. We're going to get into a lot of stuff about pregnancy, pelvic floor, delivery plans, expectations. But just to mention one of the things you were saying, just like, you know, to like have grace and stuff. And with me being in the public eye, it was like I felt, which you guys will see next season on the show, I went through this insane body transformation. Obviously, you know, you make a baby, you gain a lot of weight. But then after that, like first 2 months, like I was really struggling. That was right when I met
you were
with just like my body image. And I had to tell myself all the time, you know I made a human. Like I know this is normal. And I know now that me getting back into the shape I'm in now, only 4 months postpartum, I know that that's not necessarily the average. And I am very blessed with how I am bouncing back, but it's because I've put a lot of work in. It's not just I woke up, you know, 2 days after having a baby and I'm like, oh, I'm back in my pre-pregnancy clothes.
Yeah.
It's been hard work.
You have. You've been so determined and you've been really consistent, which is amazing. And then some women, falls off immediately.
I have a friend like that.
Right.
And that was one of the things with me where I'm like trying so hard not to compare. And I'm like, okay, well, she had an extra 6 weeks to like lose it. But I'm like, no, but like she just bounced back so quick. And it's like hard when I'm next to this person all the time. And I'm like, I'm trying not to compare. But it was just impossible.
We live in a world of comparison.
Yeah.
So it can be so hard, especially for you being in the public eye. It's even more difficult. And each baby and, you know, everybody has a different pregnancy experience.
Totally.
And since I have two, each of mine were even very different. So I bounced back so much easier with my son than I did with my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, I actually had to think about it with my daughter, and with my son, I didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's just so different. But I think also knowing that people online can be ruthless, you know, comments and comparing you to people and just...
I'm like kind of, I don't want to say I'm dreading seeing the show next season, but just like there were a couple theme parties like the second week of filming. So I'm like, I've only had a baby
you
2 weeks ago. I'm not feeling myself whatsoever. I was still like wearing maternity clothes or baggy things just to feel more comfortable. And there was this one photo that was posted. We did a white party in Palm Springs and I wore one of my maternity dresses because I was like, well, this will fit me. If it fit me 6 months pregnant, it's going to fit me now. And I put it on and I had like some like Skims under it and I felt good. I felt confident. I was like, yeah, I feel good in this. And then the photo gets posted and people are like, oh no, honey, yet it's too soon to be wearing that. And I was just like,
that's so not
okay. I actually was feeling okay that day too. Like I thought I looked good. And well, so now I'm like, did I not?
I think you did. I think some women are so harsh or think a certain body type is a certain way. And I think all women's bodies are beautiful. And I think we've talked about that. Like, I'm not like a super curvy. I'm more like an athletic build. And I think curvy's beautiful. I just think to really appreciate, like, women have beautiful body, their hips and their breasts. It's just beautiful. Their waist. It's just all bodies are beautiful, you know. And
absolutely.
Then especially when you've gone through that transformation after having a baby, there's no rush to like lose the weight unless you want to for some reason.
Yeah.
And some people never lose the weight, and that's okay too. You know, it's really, I think women should feel confident and sexy in their own skin.
And that's how I'm finally feeling now, thanks a lot to you, because I'm like, I'm not trying to get back to the weight I was pre-pregnancy. I think I was a little underweight. I think I could have used a little extra weight, and I have that on me now. And so now I'm like, now I feel comfortable with where I'm at, with what size I am. I don't need to be an extra small again. Maybe naturally I will just get back to that, because that's kind of what I've been my whole life. But I'm like, I feel good and confident where I'm at now. I like my new curves, my hips, and I'm just embracing it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so important. That's one of my favorite things about the pelvic floor work I do, is I love helping women bounce back from babies, or babies they had a long time ago, or if they're not, and fixing issues. But I also love the inner confidence it gives women, because I think all women deserve to feel sexy and beautiful in their own skin. And it kind of reconnects you with your pelvic floor and what makes us a woman.
Yeah.
And I think it's really powerful to do that.
Definitely. So kind of walk me through some of your programs, like, because I mean, honestly, I didn't even know anything about pelvic floor until you. I just know when it was suggested that I do a pelvic floor workout, I was like, I need to check with my doctor. Like, I know, like, I'm not cleared to do any workouts until after 6 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever, however long it was. Was it 3 months? I don't, whatever they had said originally.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I need to go back for like my 6 week checkup. And then I asked about the pelvic floor, and he was like, absolutely, you're cleared to do all of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, what is this?
I'm
like, any type of workout, I was so down for.
I know. And you'd never done it. A lot of doctors will let women do pelvic floor work early. I always say get doctor's approval always, you know, any workout, whether you're pregnant or not. But pelvic floor is really different. It really supports. It's the base of our core. And so our pelvic floor, for, we're going to talk about women's pelvic floor. Men have them too. But it's like 16 muscles. It's like a hammock that holds in your uterus, the fetus, your bladder, all these organs. It's essential for like sex, movement, everything.
Yeah.
And it's so ignored because you don't see it. And we kind of live in a world where I want my butt to look a certain way, or my arm. So if you kind of can't see it, we ignore it, but it's really essential in how
that's
we move.
So true.
So a lot of women with like back pain, even knee pain, hip pain, pelvic pain, painful sex, it can be a pelvic floor issue, which often can be healed through exercise. And that's why I designed the programs that I did, is because I had so many clients who'd work with me one-on-one who had a friend or a sister or somebody who didn't live here who really wanted this type of work.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I want this to be accessible to everyone. And working with a trainer is really expensive too. And a lot of people just can't afford it. And even if they can, they don't want to, or they are embarrassed and don't want anyone to know. So I really wanted something accessible to women everywhere, and it was financially affordable as well, so women could help themselves.
Love that.
And do pelvic floor work, and it helps your posture, your sex life. If you have incontinence or prolapse, things like that, it can help rectify that. The diastasis.
Sex life.
I know, right? We've talked about that
a little. We've gotten a lot of questions on the podcast. What is sex like post baby? I'm like, I'll let you know when I have it. Still haven't. Just an update.
But you are ready to go. Your pelvic floor
I am.
Is
That's
so
the thing.
Good.
I feel ready. And like Brock and I were like, we're ready. But then we have a child sleeping
so
next
hard.
To us.
I know.
And even if we were to, okay, we'll put her in the crib for a night. So it's like, no, it's even if it's out of sight, it's not out of mind.
It's not.
The bassinet is still like attached to our bed. It's still right there.
I
I'm
know.
Like, the shower here is not big enough. I'm like,
I know.
I just,
you and I are like too, where we like, you don't not think about your baby.
No.
You know, you're a mom, and now all of a sudden your world is so different. So how do you not think about summer? It's hard. I remember after both my kids, it was hard to like get in the groove again, wanting to have sex, because you do, especially with nursing, your hormones are very different, even just from you know, pregnancy, your hormones are different as mm-hmm. well. And now you have a
and
new
even
baby.
His are different too.
His are,
like,
yeah.
My hormones have affected his hormones, and
you're not
the whole
sleeping.
Thing.
Yeah. You have a new person to take care of who literally relies on you for every single thing. It's exhausting.
Yeah.
So being a new mom and sex can be really difficult. Like I've told you, I just one day you're gonna have to just like
we gotta force
do
ourselves.
It. You're gonna have to just say this is important for us because sex is really, really important.
I know. And see, here's one thing, because I believe that, absolutely. I think sex is a very important part of the relationship. I will say, though, with Brock, this is the first relationship I've ever been in where I don't make it the most important
thing.
Because
it's healthy.
I know.
And so I feel like I've – because I talk about sex a lot. I've written a lot of articles about sex.
Yeah.
And I feel like when your relationship's not great, sometimes it's kind of based on sex.
Right.
Right? Which can be very fun. But when you have a really healthy relationship, sex is like – it can still be, it's going to be amazing with that person, but it's not at the forefront because it's not the most important thing in
yeah.
your relationship necessarily because everything else is going well. So
yeah.
I know, you know, I'm divorced and have had boyfriends and many of my friends have been
Same.
Single and, you know, seen, yeah. And you've, you know, been an adult and single and
yeah.
a lot of relationships can, when you look back, wow, that was really based on sex. And I didn't realize 100%. It at the time.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it until Brock. And I mean, one of the reasons why we just hit it off so quickly, it was like a couple weeks of just like talking, hanging out. But then once we had sex, I was like, wow, okay. Like we just had that full connection.
Yes.
And it's been amazing. I mean, we made a human, you know, and I was pregnant even before that. So like, we know we work very well together.
Yes.
But like looking back at my last two relationships, even with my ex-husband, when things weren't great, I still made it a point where if it wasn't once a week, it was every other week. But like, we never went more than like 2 weeks without having
yeah.
sex. It was like, no, we should have sex tonight. Or it was just like, almost like, I don't want to say forcing it, but it was just routine.
Yeah. It's so different after you have a baby though, and being a mom.
Really
and
is.
Also I feel like I know some women I work with like, oh, I wanted sex right away. And I'm like, that's amazing. I didn't
yeah,
feel that way.
I've heard that
But that's
too.
Awesome that some people do, but we're all so different. And that's why we like, we have to stop comparing ourselves and our relationships
Absolutely.
To other people. Cause you're Brock and Sheena.
Yeah.
Like nobody else is Brock and Sheena, and nobody else was me and my husband or, you know, somebody else in theirs. And we're not living in their house, in their shoes, and we don't know what they're going through. So yes, you know you want it and you'll get there. And you're going to have the best sex ever now from the pelvic floor.
Like, I know.
Better orgasms, more. We've talked about like internal orgasms
yeah.
can really help and how to do that more.
I'm like excited, but then I'm also like afraid. I feel like a like born again virgin where I'm like, oh my God, it's been so long.
Well,
like,
because once you've had like a vaginal birth, it's like
yeah.
very traumatic for that area.
Totally. And that was one of the things that I feel like that's why we haven't yet, because the one time we tried and we're in Palm Springs, I'm so in my head and I'm like, is it the same down there? Like, and I'm just like thinking all of these things. Then I'm like, oh my God, what if this is the first time? Like, cause Summer, we didn't have her in a bassinet that night. Our AC was broken. It was miserable
so
in the house.
Hot.
So I had her on, we have like a couch, like ottoman type of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, I'm like, oh my God, what if like, I mean, she would have had to roll over several times to fall off. But then I'm thinking,
like,
what if she rolls over
yeah.
for the first time and then rolls again? And I'm like, I got to get back
no,
in there.
No, it makes you scared because you're like, what can go wrong? Oh my gosh, something could happen.
Yeah.
You'll get there. And I feel
we'll
like sex
there.
Too, it's once you get used to not having sex, it's much easier to not have it.
Yeah.
Right? And then once you start getting back into it, you kind of crave it more and you want it more.
Yeah. We just got to get over that hump.
Yeah.
Pun intended.
You will. It's still really early. I mean, summer
yeah.
is so
but
tiny
now
still.
It's like I know how long it's been based on how old she is, because we tried to induce me the night before my due date. So I'm like, I remember that last time, but it was awkward as hell.
Oh, having sex when you're super big and pregnant.
Massive.
Is, that's how I felt too. I felt I could not have felt more unsexy.
No.
Like you just, some women love having pregnant sex. It's okay if you don't
yeah.
also, because that's normal too. Like both is normal. It's
yeah.
just whatever you feel comfortable with. I was not that way either.
Oh, it was so awkward. So I'm like, yeah, I remember the last time we tried. But now I'm like, I feel like myself again. I said, my friends were laughing at me because I'm like, once I put my belly button ring back in, I was like, she's back. I feel
yeah.
it. And they're like, putting a piece of jewelry in your belly button, you felt better. I'm like, I just felt like me again. It was like.
But you said that when I saw you, because yeah. I saw you right after, and that's what you said to me. Uh-huh. And you did like have a little bit of different energy when yeah. you did that.
Because my belly button, it expanded like so wide, obviously. So then as my stomach's deflating, I remember like those first few weeks, you could fit 2 quarters in my belly button. And I was like, oh my God, is it going to look like this forever? Like,
but that's how your pelvic floor is too. So people think like, the pelvic floor vagina is supposed to be tight, but it's yeah. not. It's really designed to be elastic. Like if you think of an orgasm, it's this rhythmic contractions, mm-hmm. right? So if your pelvic floor is tight, you're not going to have very strong contractions because it's already wound up too tight.
Right.
Right? You don't want it overstretched either, but you want it like really toned, strong, and responsive.
Yeah.
Right? So if you think of like a slingshot, when you pull it and stretch it, it's still like strong and taut. Yeah. And then it can rebound. So it's supposed to be able to like lengthen and rebound in all directions. And that's how we can have a vaginal childbirth and have our pelvic floor really stretch.
Yeah.
And then it rebounds back. But pregnancy is so hard on our bodies. Mm-hmm. I mean, just as early as 12 weeks, the fetus weighs enough to put right. a lot of pressure on your pelvic floor, which can cause a lot of problems if it's not strong and elastic enough to carry that pressure. And so women get, you know, back pain, hip pain,
mm-hmm.
incontinence, like urinary incontinence. Some women even get fecal incontinence. There's like millions of women in the United States. Yeah, I've had some women who have worked with me with that typically been able to resolve it pretty quickly. It's mm-hmm. amazing. Same with urinary incontinence. Some women like 4 times it's gone. Other women take a few months. So everybody's yeah. just different. But it's so important to take care when you're pregnant of your pelvic totally. Floor. It helps with the pregnancy. You get a better, easier delivery typically uh-huh. too, because you're stronger, but you've also trained everything to be elastic and be able to stretch. Because if you're going to push a baby through,
right.
you have to have some elasticity. If it's really, really tight, you're much more likely to rip because yeah. the tissue is just really tight. And then it helps after. Like we've been doing after. I didn't know you know, before you had mm-hmm. summer. But it really helps restore appropriate tone. So it's strong enough and toned enough for whatever you're doing. You have that flexibility. And I remember when we started doing some of the exercises, yeah. you had a really limited range of motion.
But oh, totally.
Yeah. And now you look like a completely different person doing the exercises, you know, and your body's just so much stronger and more stable and more movement. I mean, you look amazing. And that's one thing I always think with fitness is that when you're a really good mover, you're going to look well too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no matter, and we all have different body types. So you might want yeah. a big butt, but that might not be your body type.
Yeah.
You know, so just to embrace what you're given and then just be a good mover, have everything work well, like your soft tissue, which is your connective tissue and stuff. Mm-hmm. And to be a good mover and you're going to look really well too.
Well, thanks to you, I'm feeling that I do. Look
you do.
Well, and I'm moving
you look
better.
Amazing.
And I just like, I feel that confidence back that I didn't have. And I kept trying to just tell myself and to give myself that grace, but it was hard. And to go right back to working full time right after, it was just like.
Okay, but Sheena, also, we have to admit, it wasn't just working full-time like a regular mom.
Yeah.
You have a camera on you all
exactly.
the time.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah. So I think for you, honestly, I think I have so much respect and admiration for you because when I started working again and doing other things, I didn't have that same thing, right? Like everyone knew I had a baby. You have cameras on you all the time and there's such judgmental people out there. And even though you don't want it to affect you and you're so great about it not, you know, you hear those hurtful comments mm-hmm. or whatever, those mean comments about like too early to wear that dress to the white party. And
then it's
like,
hasn't
no one
even
should be saying that, you know? And that's a fragile time. Like after you have a baby, your emotions and your hormones, just everything
I cried
is
like
all
every day.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
the first like several
Which
weeks.
So many women do, and it's okay. And there's a lot of women who have postpartum depression who don't get help mm-hmm. either. So I think it's important if someone's feeling like that to you have to talk to your doctor.
Yeah.
Because you have to be your own advocate. In the United States, I wish that postpartum care was better than it is. Mm-hmm. But like in terms of like pelvic floor and therapy and postpartum depression, we're really not treating women how we should. Like some countries, yeah. there's a standard of care after babies that you have pelvic floor training because really all women need it. And mm-hmm. we're not giving that to women. We wait till there's a problem and then we often try a Band-Aid approach. And same with mental health. You know, it should be after the doctor should be contacting us. How are you feeling emotionally? Are you feeling good? Are you sad? Are you crying? And really taking care of those needs of a woman. It's not just like, oh, you can have sex again. Okay, bye. See you later. Because that's kind of what we do here when there's really so much more. I mean,
yeah,
it's hard. And then if you're sad or crying and someone have major postpartum, I mean, it's hard, you know, it's hard to be a mom that way. And then their partner, it's just, it's hard for everybody, you know. And I wish in the United States that I really am so big on advocating the pelvic floor side, but I wish also with the emotional side and depression and stuff that more people were talking about that and that more women know that there's options always, you know, and you, it's supposed to be this amazing time in your life. And unfortunately for some women, it's not.
I know. I've had several friends who really dealt with postpartum depression.
Yeah.
And I know that that was really hard. And that was one of the things at one of my checkups, they gave me like a questionnaire that I had to like rate from like 1 to 10, if like, you know, happy or sad.
Yeah.
Or, like,
oh, that's good.
Yeah. So they definitely did do a follow up and then they asked me questions and they were like, we're just making sure you're okay. And at the time, though, I was like, I was so busy so quickly after coming home from the hospital. I'm like, I think I'm okay because I have to be okay because I'm working full time. But like, am I really okay?
Yeah, you didn't have time to really feel if you were.
No, I just was so busy. And so like the last few weeks since we've wrapped have been the most challenging that I've been home more with her. And now it's like, I mean, I was still home every day and every night, but it was just like filming. I was busier.
Yeah, you had a lot going on. Yeah. I mean, you had a lot in your schedule. But being in that, like after you had summer, the cameras were on you nonstop.
Yeah.
You're dealing with emotions of being a new mom. Your hormones are changing. You had the diastasis like we talked about.
Yeah, I want to explain what that is because I can't remember if I spoke about that on a podcast. I know it's definitely something I talked about this summer. And I don't even know if I explained it properly. So I want you to explain exactly what diastasis is and how you knew that I had that.
Okay. It's common, but I want to say it's not normal. Same with pelvic floor issues. They're common, but not normal. Okay. And I only say not normal in our bodies are not designed to work that way, right? So it's very common. And I say not normal as like not that something's wrong with your body's not broken, but our bodies are not designed to be functioning that way. So I just want to make that clear, but it's very common. Nothing's wrong with you. There's something you can often fix. So the diastasis recti is like the linea alba, the connective tissue in the front that separates the abs. And often with pregnancy, there's actually people who have it who are not pregnant. Even men can get it from sometimes like obesity, heavy weightlifting, tons and tons of ab work can even do it. But often it's pregnancy. And it's just the stretching out of that linea alba, that soft connective tissue that's just overstretched. Then you have the baby. Sometimes it will repair on its own. And they measure it by like fingers, like 2 finger width gap, 3, 4. I had it after both of my kids.
Did I have 3?
You had, I think it was like 2.5, I think. I think if I remember, I think it was like 2.5. I had 3 after both of mine.
Wow.
And I was able to fix it. I mean, this, the work we've done together can help with most people too.
Yeah.
So most women can heal it on their own at home. And then there are on occasion some women who do need surgery. I mean, there can be women with like 5 finger gaps. I mean, I know a woman who had triplets and she kind of manages it. Yeah, it's something you definitely want to fix because it's going to affect how you move, because your whole core, really the top is the diaphragm. It's like the abs, the lumbar spine, and the bottom, the pelvic floor. And it's like a pressure valve system. Mm-hmm. So it's just too much pressure that your body could handle, and it kind of blows out and stretches the linea alba. So it just affects the pelvic floor. Even it can affect your diaphragm, your back, a lot of things. And that's why I always suggest to women, if you have an issue with your body, don't do a Band-Aid approach or live with it. Try to address the issue, fix it. There's so much you can do on your own at home for very inexpensive to try to fix problems. So the diastasis can lead, now you're kind of unstable. The abs are not working correctly. It can lead to a lot of instability. And typically women with the diastasis have pelvic floor issues as well. But it's all connected. And that's why our bodies are all interconnected. And, you know, that's something with you, with that pain you've been having by your knee, you know, we're discovering it's more your ankle and foot, right? Like we've been doing some fascial work.
Right.
So our bodies are all interconnected. So we can't really have a problem with one area without realizing it's going to affect other places. Even if you don't notice it right away, it might be 10 years in the making, but it's really important when we have something with our body to really try to fix it and heal and fix any compensatory movement patterns we've created or anything, and just really, well, what other effects could this have done in my body? Let me address all of it now so I don't have a problem in a year, in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. And the older you get, the harder it is to fix things because our tissue is less responsive. It's just a part of getting older.
I want to get into the fascial stuff too, but first, the diastasis. I didn't even know what that was until you asked if you could check me for it. I remember seeing like a What to Expect article or something because I had seen that word before, but I feel like that's not something that's really talked about.
They're not, and that's why I was saying I think it's such a disservice to women here.
Yeah.
That should be a standard of care that women are getting checked for that after they're pregnant, right? And even when you're pregnant, for the doctor to let you know, hey, there's some exercises mm-hmm. that might not be as suitable for you because you're more likely to potentially get diastasis if you're someone yeah. that's more at risk for it.
And my doctor is amazing, but he didn't check me for that until I told him that I had it. And he was like, oh, he's like, well, let me see. And then that's when we found out it went from 2.5 to 1.
Yeah.
But that wasn't just like a standard, like, oh, let me check your ab wall for the separation.
Well, and it's the reason it's so important to know if you have it or not is there's exercises women do after a baby to try to like, oh, let me get my stomach back. Let me tone up my abs.
Crunches.
Yes. And, crunches, yeah. sit-ups, front planks, mm-hmm. legs lifts, V-ups, things like that, that are actually, if you have that, going to make it worse.
Yeah.
And so a lot of trainers don't know about it, and why should they? Mm-hmm. But that's something I feel like I wish in our healthcare community that more doctors and midwives and things were helping women out with that, educating them. And even on the training aspect, that more trainers were getting trained on that, because you go take a class and that person or a trainer even might not know anything about postpartum mm-hmm. or they might say they do, but they don't know if you have diastasis and they could be making it worse.
Totally.
You know, and that's why some women are like, gosh, I had a baby 3 years ago and I still look 6 months pregnant. What's wrong with me? Now, sometimes it's another issue, but often one of the first things I think of is, do you have diastasis? Mm-hmm. Because it can make you look very, very pregnant still when you're not, which is so frustrating for women who are doing everything quote unquote right and trying really hard to work out. And then they don't realize that what they're doing is actually making the issue worse.
Yeah, because I mean, I would have had no idea. And I one of the things I normally love to do on my own is just to like lay my yoga mat down, put on like Real Housewives and do just like crunches and crunches.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things that's just the easiest that I know how
but
to do.
But now you have other stuff I've given you.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to do as many. I have not done crunches and sit-ups in probably almost 20 years. I just turned 43. But my stomach's flat. It's very strong.
It's very flat, you guys.
And but I mean, I'm like a mom of 8 and 10, almost 9, mm-hmm. 11-year-old, and gained a ton of weight. I know what that's like. But I really decided to do movement that really – there's a purpose to my movement, not just – do crunches to get my abs sore, what am I doing to function well, right?
Yeah.
And you don't have to, if you love doing sit-ups and crunches, you don't have a problem, go ahead and do them. You know, I like people to do what they love to do, but there are alternatives, and especially mm-hmm. if you have the diastasis or pelvic floor issues, there's things you could be doing that are probably going to help you better, you know?
Yeah, I took like a bar class and then I did Pilates once I got cleared to start working out again. And I had to let the instructors know that I had diastasis because they're like, oh, okay, then you can't do this move.
Yeah.
You can't do that move. But I'm like,
but think if you
had I
know.
Not known that, I would have just been working
Which
that out.
Which is what most women, they don't know.
Yeah.
And so they go and they're trying to get fit or feel good, mm-hmm. you know? And then they don't know and it can make it worse. So you can check on your own for it. There's so many YouTubes on how to do it, but mm-hmm. it's something that if you've had a baby before and you've never been checked, I would check.
Definitely.
Just because you might not have a belly pooch and still have it, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that's where the pelvic floor work we do together helps close that diastasis.
Yeah, and
that
it closed
gap.
Up on its own.
Yeah, and works your abs like amazing. Like you have so much tone in your lower abs, it's unreal now. I mean, they're just functioning so well. And
yeah.
some of the ab exercises, you could hardly do them when we started. And now, I mean, you're
totally.
So good at them. And they're difficult.
Thanks.
They're not easy.
Yeah, no. Like some of the stuff, I'm going to also, in the next few weeks, I'm going to do a vlog so you guys can see some of these exercises. I kind of wish now that we would have like vlogged my first session with you to show the progress.
We should have.
Damn, I didn't even
your
think
form,
to
like,
do that.
I don't know. Just the way you move, you just look like a different person, which I love seeing. And I love movement. I'm such a geek.
Uh-huh.
But I love seeing someone and to me, I love when I see someone starting to move better because I know their body's functioning so much better. It helps their posture. It helps your energy throughout the day. Everything functioned better. And our fascia is also connected with our nervous system and
yeah.
how we feel. So everything is is so connected with our bodies. And that's why I get so excited. Like, I was so excited, like, Sheena, you look amazing when you're doing this, because I knew it wasn't just like, oh, yeah, you have good form. It's so much deeper than that. And mm-hmm. it means so much more and affects you and impacts so many different areas of your life. But I mean, I love working with you. You're so such a hard worker.
Thank you.
You are. I mean, you really try hard.
I'm a perfectionist.
You are. And you're consistent and you're amazing. I love working with you. It's so fun to work with you and see you come from having summer and to see the changes, not only in your body, but just your energy and even like the spirit in your eyes and the glow in your eyes transform. It's been like such a privilege to be able Aww. To be by your side and watch
well,
that.
Thank you. I love that also. It's like you can kind of double as like a therapist, you know, like whenever I'm like, I have like an issue with like a girlfriend or Brock's on my nerves. Like I just feel like I can like talk it out with you while we're doing the workout yeah. and it's awesome.
Oh, I know. I feel like you're a friend too.
Yeah,
I
mean, 100%.
So blessed. I don't train a lot of people one-on-one, and when I do, I really want to enjoy that person, have a yeah. vested interest in their outcome, and it's nice when they become a friend. You
yeah.
know, I like care, but I'm older than you too, so I feel like my kids are older, so I've been a mom, you know, for longer and have so many moms that are friends. So I think when we talk about that stuff, you know, you help me with stuff too, though. You know, mm-hmm. we've both been Aww. Through divorces, babies, you know, we've been through a lot of similar things yeah. and a lot of different things, but I think I'm blessed too because you help me. I mean, it's great. We're able to talk and it's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, and I love speaking to like other women who have, you know, different experiences, different mom experiences, different opinions on things just because I don't watch the news like I had told
no,
you.
No, news is poison. I don't watch
totally.
The news either.
But I love speaking to other people who are educated on certain subjects, current events, and, you know, just like all of this like postpartum stuff because I would rather speak to someone who's educated about something than Google and read articles or turn on the news to see what's
yeah.
going on. So
no, it's
that's
true.
Been great too.
And you and I have talked too. You can find something to support any view. And I just love you and Brock are so amazing. Even if we agree or don't agree, like mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because it's just our opinions and
yeah.
we still like each other no matter what.
Totally.
And even with parenting advice or pregnancy, I'll listen to someone. Okay, that's amazing. And I'll take what I want or leave it at the door and it doesn't matter.
I feel like there is a lot of with being a mom, you know, now there's like that mom judging and everyone has their opinion. And it's just like, you know, when I post something of my daughter, unless there's a little question box and I'm asking for your opinion. But I will say on the flip side, there have been things that women have reached out about that I appreciate that I didn't know, like whether it was like the way the car seat buckle was or this chair I had her in or things I was eating when I was pregnant that I maybe shouldn't. That I embrace and I appreciate.
Yeah.
But then there's just this whole other element of the mom judging. So like when I pierced her ears, I wasn't asking for
yeah,
opinions.
You and I talked about that. I loved it. I thought that was amazing. I waited till
yeah.
my daughter was three only because my ex was a little freaked out about it. But mm-hmm. I would have absolutely done it as a baby. But the mom judging gets worse, I feel,
yeah.
as they get older. Because my
oh,
kids
I'm sure.
are late elementary. But you feel it from the beginning. Even when you're pregnant, are you going to have a vaginal or are you going to have a C-section? Are you going to use an epidural?
Sometimes
it's
not your choice.
It's not, but even so, I'll do what's best for me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you what's right or best for you. It starts when you're pregnant, you
oh,
know?
Yeah.
Are you going to know the sex? Well, you shouldn't. Are you going to nurse or are you not going to nurse? Are you going to sleep with your baby or are you not? Are you using
yeah.
cloth diapers or are you not? And then it just gets more and more and mm-hmm. more the bigger they get.
Ends.
It doesn't. And that's where you and I have talked too about just, you know, when someone's doing that, you just have to have grace because they're just trying to control something they can't control,
mm-hmm.
right? And just, okay, thanks. It's hard. They just want to inflict their opinion. And sometimes it's nice and helpful, like you said, if the car seat's not in right, like I would want to know that or this
Yeah,
seatbelt.
It was like her chest strap, which I mean, I know
oh,
when.
Oh, it's higher than you realize
yeah.
it has to be. Yeah.
And it was just like, it was a little lower. And someone was like, hey, she's like, I just saw something you posted. And like, just so you know, like that chest strap is supposed to be up higher. And I was like, I was annoyed by it because I'm like, ugh, I didn't do it right. And then I posted something and like,
yeah.
I'm a perfectionist and a control freak.
But I would appreciate
but
that.
I appreciated
too.
That
yeah.
because I was like, okay, well, thank you.
It's really
now
the parenting style things that I
yeah.
think we're talking about. It's not like safety stuff.
Totally.
It's the parenting because you
safety
know what?
Safety stuff I appreciate.
Yeah. Like everybody parents different and I just feel like I'm not in your home,
mm-hmm.
you know? And even with the pregnancy, like just judging and it's parenting stuff, just judging but you're not, nobody is you. No one's living your life and they can't decide what's right for you. And then some people after a baby, they don't want to lose weight and that's okay. Mm-hmm. There's no right. It's just what feels right for you.
Yeah. And like we had talked about like delivery plans and expectations. It's like, you know, do what's best for you, but it's like everyone is going to have a different experience and you may plan on having, you know, a natural birth and no epidural or whatever. And then the cord could be wrapped around the neck and you have to do an emergency C-section and they have to give you certain drugs or it's like, you know, there's just, you got to just do what's best for you. Yeah. I mean, I listen to my doctors.
Yeah. And you're never going to make anyone, everybody happy with anything. Not. And so, yeah, it's just hard right now.
Yeah.
I think in the climate that's going on right now, but that's where I feel like really taking a step back and saying, okay, I'm doing this for the right reasons. I'm doing this for me.
Yeah.
You can judge all you want to, but I'm not going to sit here and judge you.
Totally.
You know?
So one of the things other than pelvic floor that we've been doing is the fascia work.
Yeah.
Fascia work. So, okay, I also didn't even know what that was. I've seen those tools before. Is it called like a grafting tool or?
Well, this one's just the fascia blaster.
Oh, a fascia blaster.
So there's different ones.
Okay.
There's some people do like cupping. There's like
I've had cupping done
work.
Before.
So there's lots of different fascial work that people do or different,
so that's what cupping
different
is.
Ways to get at the fascia. So sometimes it's creating blood flow. The work that I like with fascia is more breaking up fascial adhesion. So fascia is our soft connective tissue in our body. So if you like removed everything but your fascia, it'd look like a Spider-Man suit. So you have broken your pinky toe twice, right? Think of like a knit sweater. If you pull on, say, the bottom of the knit sweater, it's going to really mess up the knit there, but it's going to mess up the knit a little bit through everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And that's how the fascia in our body is. So when you broke your toe, it just seemed like, oh, I broke my toe, and you move on. Or even if you go to therapy, a lot of therapists would say, okay, let's just fix this toe area without realizing that it's kind of going to impact everything in your body to one degree or another.
Yeah.
So it's going to make you walk differently. It's going to can impact your pelvic floor, a lot of things. So it's important. So the fascial work we did is just a manual fascial work you can do on yourself. There's other kinds. You can pay people to go get stuff done. It's a way to break up fascial adhesion. So our fascia is supposed to like glide really smoothly. Injury, trauma, stuff like that can make it where it gets kind of sticky and doesn't glide. And that's where we get like pain or restricted range of motion. So the fascial work we've been doing is helping break up those adhesions. So now the fascia can glide better and that pain and restricted range of motion go away. Even the exercises you do are all fascial based. So they're very therapeutic. I've had a lot of people see me instead of physical therapy. So with my pelvic floor programs, I have a lot of other like full body stuff, shoulders, back, a lot of rehab stuff also. Even the pelvic floor is like rehab, but it's also a workout. And your pelvic floor has a lot of fascia in it. So some women who have like a really low, say they have low sensation, you know, they're not feeling a lot, they have trouble orgasming. Sometimes nerves are entrapped within your fascia in the pelvic floor. So the pelvic floor work we do helps kind of realign the fascia in your pelvic floor.
Okay.
And then sometimes even manual fascial work like along the spine, the hips, sometimes down the legs or the foot and ankle can help with that too and kind of help that nerve entrapment.
So the bruising that happens after, that's normal.
That's normal. Some people bruise a lot like you did.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that picture. Oh my gosh.
I went to get laser hair removal after we did the fascia work. So I'm sitting in there and I'm doing my legs right now and they have to like chalk up your legs into like sections for the laser hair removal, whatever. And so I take my leggings off and I was like, holy shit. And I was like, it just looks like I have fingerprints like all down my leg. And I was like, oh my God. So I just got this like thing massaged like done. I was like, just ignore the bruises. I'm like, it's fine to like laser over them, right? And she's like, yeah, you're fine. But I took that photo and sent it to you because I was like,
was
holy
crazy.
Shit. It was a few hours.
Yeah, it was just a few hours. I got a text from Sheena with a picture of her leg and I was in shock. Oh, she bruises so easily, everyone. It's crazy. So she bruised like mad. It's great for cellulite too. I bruised after I've done it.
Yeah.
You don't want to do it on bruised skin. It's great for you, but you have to always listen to your body. If you have a huge bruise, like we haven't done it on there because it's still bruised. So we're going to wait until the tissue's healed before we get into that tissue again.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you can cause problems, you know? So it's just about like being smart and listening to your body. And I think a lot of people don't because they just think more is better with whether it's fascial work or working out. And I'm really a big advocate of like listening to your body and what you need. Some days you can do intense, some days you don't need it. And just really listening and honoring what your body wants. Because yeah. your body's going to tell you. The more in tune you get with your body, even with diet and everything, you kind of know what you need. You know, you're hungry. I think as little kids, like, you see, like Summer eats when she's hungry, right? You're not eating when she's not hungry. But we get out of that as we get older, because whether it's parents or people like, no, finish your plate. You need to eat more. Or it's our own things. And we kind of like turn some of our innate senses off.
Yeah.
When we get older, whether it's like that or listening to pain and working through it, when our body's just trying to tell us something, you know? So like for me with food, I eat when I'm hungry. You know, if I'm not hungry at lunchtime, I'm not going to eat.
Yeah,
you know?
See, that's my issue with Brock, is he's like, you have to have breakfast. I'm like, but I'm not even hungry yet. Like, I haven't been awake for that long, and I don't like to force myself to eat when I'm not hungry. I still have my meals a day, but I'm like, well, maybe I'll just have like a yogurt or a smoothie. Yeah.
Well, you like more intermittent fasting, which is also great for some people.
Yeah, but then when I'm breastfeeding, I feel like I do need to like be making sure I'm not necessarily eating more, but I'm eating more often and not just waiting until I'm hungry. I don't know.
But have you noticed with your milk supply that it affects that? It might not.
I've noticed when I don't drink a lot of water in a day.
Yeah, water is so
important.
Or if it's
one of those days that I feel stressed, I notice a change in my milk supply.
Well, stress does that to our
body. I know. That's the number one thing.
Stress is horrible for our bodies.
Yeah.
It's like,
and I've noticed that, and I'm like, okay, I got to just like, I want to breastfeed for as long as I can, so I can't allow my body to be stressed or dehydrated, because it affects her only supply of food.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to supplement formula if I'm still producing. So it's like I need to do, you know, what's best for my body, because that's what's best for her.
Oh, water for sure. I mean, I breastfed both my kids too, and they never had formula. I didn't have to use it. And if
that's
someone,
amazing.
It was amazing. But also I feel like if someone uses it from the beginning, that's okay too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, as a fed baby is the most important thing. It like doesn't matter how you're feeding them.
I mean,
some people can't, you know, they have surrogates.
Can or they don't want
some
to.
Some dry up. Like there's a lot of, I've heard more stories, like horror stories and like things that have gone wrong with breastfeeding, than people who have had it easy like I have. And I just feel so blessed.
I had it so easy too. But there are people out there. Like I know this two women who are lactation consultants, and they work together. They're amazing. And they've helped so many women who have issues. And that's where we were talking about with pelvic floor and, you know, the depression or nursing. There are resources out there for people that you can often get help at home even, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can do Zoom
everything's
stuff
over
and videos.
Zoom now.
Yeah.
Totally.
I mean, and typically it's like less expensive than if you were to have to go in before. So I feel like even that with the nursing, I mean, there are people who are going to help you. And then kids sleeping, there's sleep consultants that are incredible, you know? So there's so many things you can really do as a mom and tools. It's just a matter of, okay, let me find these tools and let me use them.
Yeah, totally.
And it's okay to use them.
Yeah, absolutely. So you have how many different types of programs? How can people sign up for them? I know you were going to give our Shenanigans listeners a discount code.
Absolutely.
Tell me about your programs.
Okay, so I have online programs. They're pelvic floor. I have another one coming out that's like an abs and core, but won't have pelvic floor in it. So I have a pelvic floor program. There's three programs. There's a quickie, a go-to, and a peak performance. You and I do mostly the go-to and peak performance. Peak performance is kind of a lot. There's some jumping, the BOSU stuff we do. It's really fun and dynamic.
Yeah.
It's not for everyone. If someone doesn't like the jumping and really pushing themselves, probably not the best. The go-to is really what I designed, the middle road one, what I designed to really heal dysfunction.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the one if a woman has like incontinence things, she might want to get that one. And then the quickie is more of an introduction to pelvic floor. And then they all come with different full body workouts, some recipes, things like that. So the pelvic floor, they'd want to do 3 to 4 times a week at first. And then they can kind of figure out with their bodies, do you do it once a week for maintenance eventually? Do you do it twice a week? And like you see, even with pelvic floor, it's not just your pelvic floor. It really transforms your whole body. It's like your abs, your alignment, your feet, your legs, your back, your arms. It's kind of everything. And then I have those other full body workouts that I kept short because honestly, people don't want an hour long workout most of the time. So I kept everything short. People can do it longer. So they can get any of those that you do on my website, www.courtneyv.com. And then for your listeners, they have 20% off any of the programs. Amazing. Using code SHEENA20. So all caps,
thank you.
SHEENA20. And so you can do what Sheena and I do on your own at home.
Definitely. So what, like I know we use like the exercise ball, the BOSU. What are some of the things that people, is that like listed on your website that they can see what equipment
they
would need?
That's a great question. It is. So I really wanted something with minimal equipment. All of them use the stability ball that we do.
Okay.
I do have a no equipment pelvic floor also included, especially when kind of COVID happened and everything shut down. I had some people who were doing it contacting me. I don't have a ball and I can't get one. So I created one for them, but I really prefer a ball, to be honest. So you need an exercise ball for all the programs. And then after that, you can use for weights, even water bottles if someone doesn't want to get it. Because you don't use heavy weights.
Totally.
I love the ones I use that you could put your hand and foot through, but they're not necessary. You can use really light dumbbells. And then the Peak Performance, I would recommend a BOSU, but you can do it without.
Yeah.
So really the only equipment that's necessary is the ball.
Okay.
And then
you can get those on Amazon.
Yeah. I get them on Amazon. Like if you're about 5'7", 5'8", or under, a 65 centimeter, and above that, a 75 centimeter ball. And then also blow it up much bigger than you think you need to. You're going to think it's going to pop, but keep blowing it up.
I noticed that with ours.
But your listeners can do exactly what you're doing. It's great. I mean, you can work out at home. You can feel good, fix any issues, have the best sex you've ever imagined. I mean, women.
No, I can't wait.
In terms of, well, in sex, we talked about internal orgasms, and most women are actually capable of having them. They just don't know they are, because a lot of women need like clitoral stimulation to have an orgasm. But the more in tune you get with your body and the better functioning your pelvic floor and any nerve entrapment opens up, I can't even tell you how many stories I get of women saying, I didn't know I could have orgasms. Thank you so much.
Well, yeah.
And multiple ones internally, no external stimulation. So even just that alone is really life-changing, you know?
Yeah, that's one of the things. I mean, Brock is literally, which I mean, I'm so happy that it's him because this is who I'm going to be with forever.
Yeah.
But he's the first guy to ever really give me an orgasm.
So incredible.
So it was like, you know, I had so many years of just like good sex, but like not understanding
what it was.
Yeah. And I remember I went to a couple different doctors and asked, and I was like, am I normal? Like, is this okay? And they're like, you know, some women
it's
just
really
don't.
It's really common though, Sheena. A lot of women have never experienced one at all. And then I think less people even internal orgasms, you know, and just have clitoral. So, and Brock is going to be able to tell a difference with you. So when you do a lot of pelvic floor work and it's really strong, toned and responsive, if you think of that rhythmic contraction with an orgasm, think of when it gets, your pelvic floor gets strong, but it's elastic. So it can like stretch and then contract. It's only that much stronger, right? So the work we do, it just gets better and better that way, where your orgasms, they can feel them internally because it's so strong and there's so much like, you know, contraction and then stretch. So it's pretty amazing because your partner can feel it too.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to get to that point, and I'm excited to tell all of you guys when
we
do.
It's gonna be soon. I'm working on her.
I think so. I know. It's just, you know, I mean, your life when you have a baby is all about the baby.
It is.
And I'm just like, I'm not my happiness, because I'm very happy with her, but I put all of like my other needs just aside to make sure she is taken care of. Like even yesterday, we took her to the Chargers game, and Brock and I ended up getting in an argument last night because the second like she started fussing, which she's not a fussy baby, as you know, you see her all the time. But she went from like, and we had the headphones on her. She was just chilling, you know, watching everything to, rah, I'm hungry now. And I was like, cool. I just had a drink. And I don't know how soon. They say, you know, about 20 to 30 minutes before it's in your bloodstream, but then it's in your breast milk. And I'm like, so then I start being hard on myself because I'm like, well, now I can't nurse her because it's been 30 minutes since I had that one drink. And I'm like, you know, I shouldn't have drank. This is why I don't drink. And I'm like getting so mad at myself for having that one drink. And he's like, Sheena, calm down. Stop being so hard on yourself. You had a drink. It's fine. He's like, I'm warming up the bottle, but I'm like, but it's not warm yet. And then the milk starts spilling on the bottle warmer. And then we're like down half an ounce. And I'm like, oh my God, it's just pouring out.
But
and
you're
I'm like
a
freaking
perfectionist.
Out. Totally.
And so that's why you do that. Like, you're a perfectionist about everything.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that's why, because it's not going according to plan and you in your mind know what you want and then it wasn't going that way.
Yeah,
and it
but I'm also like, this is why I shouldn't drink, because what if she needs to nurse immediately and now I can't? And he was like, you need to not be so hard on yourself.
You're very hard on yourself. Even when we talk about the driving and driving with Summer, like I think you're hard on yourself and you, and it's so easy for moms to do though. Like I know we talk about it and I'm not judging you at all. I didn't experience that with like the driving or that.
Yeah.
I know so many moms who do. But it's so hard when you're a new mom. It's just so overwhelming that there's things that like freak you out that never freaked you out before. And it's how to figure out how to balance all that and like be normal, but still have, you know, thinking about her and caring for her and putting her first, but still taking care of you and being normal adult and normal, sexy, beautiful Sheena away from being a mom. But I mean, that's a hard thing to find. I mean, it was for me, and some people just go into it so easily, you know, and slide into that and find it. It was not for me.
Yeah.
I know it's not the easiest for you. For a lot of women, it's not easy. And I think for women listening to know that, hey, if that's how you felt or what you're experiencing, that's totally fine. Totally. And that's normal to figure out, how do I balance motherhood, being a great mom, being a partner, but still being me, you know? And it took me a long time to figure that out. You know, it's hard.
And he was telling me, he's like, you know, like when he was saying, you know, don't be so hard on yourself and like you need to have like time for yourself as well. I'm like, I do. I was like, I went to brunch with my girlfriends. I was like, I was at my sister's birthday party till literally the bouncer said, you don't have to go home, but you got to get the fuck out of here. Like I shut that shit down. Yeah. Like I do give time for myself. He's like, yeah, he goes, but that's not us. He goes, that's you with your friends. That was you with, you know,
but
your sister.
But also you by yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so you away from Brock, even away from Summer, away from your friends, like who's Sheena without all that?
Yeah.
That can be hard.
Mm-hmm.
You have to like juggle everything. I mean, you are good about seeing your friends, but like,
yeah, but it's then a he was saying amount. Too, he's like, you know, he's like, yeah, so your friends got fun Sheena yesterday, but then I just get stressed out Sheena who, you know, can't get the bottle warmed up quick enough. And he's like, I want fun Sheena.
But also, I mean, I get where Brock is coming from, but I also know you guys are in it day in and day out. You know, relationships as friends is so different than a relationship with a partner or a spouse. They're just not comparable, you know, and your spouse typically is the person who will see you at your worst because you're living with them day in and day out and you're not living with your friends.
Yeah.
You know, your friends are your escape.
That's so true.
Right? Your friends are an escape that is just fun. And friends, we've talked about that. Friends are supposed to be so easy to have. And you and I have talked about how some people can get all crazy and weird, but friendship should be really easy for the most part, right? And a romantic relationship is not quite as easy. You're spending so much more time with that person. It's a different kind of relationship. And that's why he gets that like not fun Sheena sometimes. Because it's not possible for you to always be fun Sheena with Brock.
It just, it went from like having so much fun. Like we both got, we're like, we're going to have a gin and tonic. Yeah. And then we had like the one drink and then we sit in our seats. We're making friends with the other season ticket holders. And I'm like, this is so fun. Like, well, okay, we can do this. And they were just, rah, feed me now. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, we got to go. And then I'm like, run into the lounge.
Still a
and it was
new
just
mom.
Like, yeah. And so that was like the first sporting event or like big thing that we've taken her to. And my mom was there as well with my uncle. My mom was like, you know, I can take her for a few. And I was like, no, we need to figure this out on our own. I need to be okay with bringing her to things and like
feeling
confident.
And that's how you get used to it. I think you and I talked about it. Like if you don't do anything like that with her, how are you going to get used to it? It's just about diving in and then, like you saw, it didn't work out how you thought it would, right? But that's okay. And that prepares you next time that if it's like that, that it's okay. And I mean, I think being realistic, like everybody has felt like that.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, that's amazing.
Oh,
but like,
so amazing.
I mean, everybody I know has felt so overwhelmed as a mom. And some days you feel like such a failure, or you yelled at your kids and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to yell at my kids.
Right.
That's not the mom I want to be.
I know.
You know, and you just, everybody has those moments where they just kind of freak out or snap. And that's just life.
Yeah.
You know, to feel like you're not going to have those, like it's completely unrealistic, you know?
Definitely. Well, thank you
Thank you for everything
you've been doing for me and for doing this podcast. I think there's so much good information in here that's definitely going to help women. Be sure to check out Courtney's website, CourtneyV.com. And
you can follow me on Instagram too at CourtneyVFitness.
Yes. And use code Sheena20, all capitals, for 20% off some of her programs.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Amazing.
I've been wanting to do this for a while, so I'm glad we did.
Yeah, thank
you
so much.
It's fun to, like,
much.
Have guests back on my show, too, because it's just an – I mean, I love doing it with just Jamie or just Brock, and it's been so fun, but it's, like, nice to just get a fresh perspective on the show again.
You can cover different topics.
Totally.
Yeah.
Thank you guys
thank
so much
you.
For listening. We'll be back next week. Bye.
Sheena Shea. Shay FK.
Thanks for listening to Shenanigans with Sheena Shea. Download new episodes every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.